Well, look, I'm going to jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that the Right Side Way, brought to you every single day by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, 30 years practicing law in North Alabama. Oh, by the way, longtime conservative, been in the mix, been in the fray on all the things that Right Side Ruffians care about, and your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. All right, let me just jump in here and say, isn't it amazing how the progressive left will take something normal, even something special, and twist it into something completely the opposite of what it was intended to be? I mean, first of all, it's like they have no imagination. They have no creativity, so they just take something else and rebrand it instead of coming up with their own thing. Case in point, we've talked about it before, the rainbow. God's promise set in the clouds is a covenant between God and man that the great flood would never happen again. But if you bought a shirt with a rainbow on it and walked down the street right now, the odd looks and sideways glances you would get would be very telling. Why? Well, because the rainbow is no longer seen as a symbol of a loving God, but rather of the LGBTQ lifestyle. Look, down in Florida this past week, the state began making corrections on the use and abuse of the rainbow. The Florida Department of Transportation actually began removing rainbow crosswalks all over the state, and the left is having a complete conniption over it. Cities all over Florida are painting over rainbow crosswalks, and protesters are showing up with chalk and paint and recoloring them again and again and again. And U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, he issued a statement. Part of what he said was, "Roads are for safety, not for political messages or artwork." And I got to ask you, by the way, has it ever crossed the mind of any of the rainbow crowd that they could just purchase a billboard the same as the rest of us and put up their stolen rainbow images and then no one would have to walk on it or get arrested for a hate crime for doing a donut on it? But yeah, back to my original point, it's really amazing how often something that has pure motives or positive history or meaningful purpose can be construed to be just the opposite when the left gets a notion. I mean, how many statues have been torn down to satisfy leftist zeal? How many times has the rainbow been used to symbolize the cult of LGBTQ activism as opposed to the original intent of God's covenant to man? Military bases were renamed during the Biden BLM purge so that the perpetually offended people on the left can feel less offended for a few minutes until they find the next shiny thing to be offended about. Like, for instance, here's one, the Reconciliation Monument at Arlington National Cemetery. Have you seen that? Nothing screams like a panicking in a cemetery, let me just tell you. Can you imagine going into any cemetery and taking down memorials and headstones and throwing away the flowers? Can you? No, but the left can. The Reconciliation Monument, y'all, is a beautiful, massive bronze and marble sculpture created and installed back in 1914. Congress, not a president, but Congress, had decided to authorize the burial of Confederate veterans at Arlington, and Reconciliation Monument was installed as a symbol of the healing that our nation had gone through. It was a symbol of national unity. But the panickins couldn't have that. They rebranded it as a hate monument. They altered history, and they had the monument torn down. But 4 weeks ago, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, he announced that the Reconciliation Monument has been reconciled once again and is being restored, refurbished, and reclaimed. And it will soon be back in its proper place, right there at Arlington National Cemetery. But I got to tell you, there's few things that draw the ire of the left more than something that expresses both faith and patriotism. I mean, seriously, if you have a symbol of faith, like a menorah or a manger scene set up at a city hall, they're coming for you, I tell you. If you dare to speak of your faith in God while an elected official, then you are a heretic bent on demanding conformity. And the same is true of patriotism. If you love this country and what it stands for and you decide to fly the flag on your front porch, you might hear from an aggrieved member of your homeowners association. Or if you dare to wear a hat with the Gadsden flag on it that says, "Don't tread on me," well, you must be a right-wing racist. But faith and patriotism, when you mix them together, whoo, boy, you are due to be put on a no-fly list at that point. May have a late-night visit from an armed agent of the state. Who knows? Yeah, there's one symbol, though, that actually does that. There is one symbol I can think of off the top of my head that does, in fact, mix the two, both faith and patriotism. And it draws heat every single time it's in public. Sitting on the shelf behind me here in the studio is a small desktop version of a symbol that I'm talking about. It's a flag. It's the kind of flag that is sometimes referred to by the naval historians as a jack. It's a plain white flag, and the centerpiece is an evergreen tree, and the words "An Appeal to Heaven" are on it. Back in 2022, Rolling Stone magazine published an article entitled, "Meet the Apostle of Right-Wing Christian Nationalism." Wow. The man they were writing about is someone named Dutch Sheets, somebody who I actually have a great respect for. Dutch Sheets actually publishes a daily devotional. You can go online and find it. It's called Give Him 15. You ought to check it out. But the Rolling Stone editors, they don't care for him at all. He's what they've branded a Christian nationalist because he dares to call for Christians to get involved in their government. And Dutch Sheets is a man of history. He has more than once written about the significance of the Appeal to Heaven flag. Well, Rolling Stone went on to try and trivialize the Appeal to Heaven flag in the article because of the fact that Dutch Sheets writes about it. They claimed it was purely for secular purposes, that it was, quote, flown at times by George Washington and the Continental Navy. But as per usual, the truth of something that bore signs of faith and patriotism was actually far more significant. Let me tell you the history. In 1775, George Washington was working to convince the Continental Congress that they needed a navy to counter the British ships that were bringing troops and supplies in from England. And as politicians have always done, the Congress got mired down in debate, so General Washington just decided to go ahead and foot the bill himself. He actually funded the effort to build the first six schooners for the Continental Fleet. There was a tradition at the time for naval vessels to fly the flag of their nation and their own jack, that Navy flag, the maritime flag of their Navy. Well, a man by the name of Colonel Joseph Reed, an aide to Washington, he suggested the flag ought to be like a stark white with a green pine tree in the center and the words Appeal to Heaven. Well, the flag was approved. And the Appeal to Heaven flag became the first naval flag ever used on American ships. The tree on the flag was said to represent the Liberty Tree in Boston, a large elm tree where protesters of English rule used to gather in the public square. But pine trees were actually very common in the shipbuilding industry, and the British had actually passed a law reserving all the tallest pine trees for their own ships to be used as masts. So, the pine tree symbol had several meanings. The phrase, an appeal to heaven, was actually taken from a famous writing by an English philosopher named John Locke. You've probably heard of John Locke. He wrote several things that were inspiring at the time. One was called The Second Treatise on Government. Locke's works had a huge influence on the Founding Fathers. And in his second treatise, at one point, Locke had written this. He said, for wherever violence is used, an injury done, though by the hands appointed to administer justice, it is still violence and injury, however colored with the name and the pretenses or the forms of law. War is made upon the sufferers who, having no appeal on earth to right them, they are left to the only remedy in such cases, an appeal to heaven. That's where the phrase comes from. It comes from John Locke, writing about the injustice being done to the colonies and suggesting that we should appeal to heaven. Well, the flag became extremely popular, and before the signing of the Declaration of Independence in July 1776, the flag with its Appeal to Heaven phrase on it was seen all over the colonies. In late 1775, it is documented that General Israel Putnam's troops at the Battle of Bunker Hill used a flag with the same motto. During the Battle of Boston, the floating batteries that were out in the harbor flew the white pine tree flag. And in January of 1776, Commodore Samuel Tucker flew the flag while successfully capturing a British transport ship which was attempting to relieve the forces, British forces in Boston. Y'all, this is history. This is real. This is a symbol of faith and patriotism of the Founding Fathers and the men and the women who first stood in the gap to forge this nation. But none of that matters to the left. Somebody saw the Appeal to Heaven flag flying in the crowd on January 6th and, oh no, can't have that. So in March 2022, a left-wing activist named Andrew Seidel, he runs that infamous organization called the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He delivered a 56-page report to the so-called Select Committee to investigate January 6th. You remember them? Oh yeah, the Select Committee. Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney, Adam Schiff, the whole barrel full of monkeys. Well, Seidel gave them his report, and it was entitled Christian Nationalism and the Capital Insurrection. God almighty. Seidel opened up by saying Christian nationalism is the biggest threat to America today, an existential threat to a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it just gets better from there. Seidel actually stated unequivocally in his screeching report that Christian nationalism was the central driving force on January 6th. Wow. He went on to say, too, that with regard to the symbols of faith and patriotism, that the Christian nationalist, in his words, draws their legitimacy from artifacts left by previous waves of Christian nationalism this country has endured, and these relics, he said, are disfiguring scars. Somehow, too, he also invoked racism. I'm not sure he got there. And on page 17 of his report to the January 6th Commission, he had a picture of the Appeal to Heaven flag. That's part of what he was talking about. Okay, so what's my point? My point is this. This is history. This is faith. This is patriotism. There is no justification for branding this beautiful piece of our historical resistance as being somehow tantamount to domestic terrorism. But that's what they do, because if the left can't bend you to their will, then they will brand you for the kill. That's the deal. An appeal to heaven. We would do well to take a lesson from the men who first flew that flag when our nation was being founded. And it's not a small thing, y'all. And if the left can steal our history and brand our faith-based patriotism as being somehow radical and dangerous, well, then what else can they get away with? It's a flag, yes, but it means so much more than that. And I might actually get a bigger one for the studio now. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.